Can't sleep? Don't want to sleep? Afraid to sleep? Are the windows closed? Are your doors locked? Did you check your closet? And under your bed? Maybe you should keep a light on in the hallway, just in case. Now settle in. Make yourself comfortable. Lay back, close your eyes, and let me tell you a story.
Arriving January 9th and available for pre-order now, The Reality Reaction Team, a brand new mind-bending sci-fi cyberpunk thriller by author Joe Prosit. In the distant future, humanity spends its time dancing through layers of simulated universes inside of simulated universes, while the real world crumbles around them. The powers that be offer a simple solution. Take the long nap and enter a decade-long hibernation while a select few rebuild Earth into a utopia. Two young lovers, Josh, a hallucinating lowlife, and Ziggy, a university student determined to quantify objective truth, find themselves caught in a spiraling tangle of conspiracy, illusion, and worlds within worlds as they begin to decipher the sinister facade of the long nap and find important allies in a mysterious group called the Reality Reaction Team. Pre-order your ebook or paperback now at joeprosit.com.
Everyone loves magic. A good magician can make you forget it's a trick. Some are so good, one could wonder if they really are magic. Jeff the Magician is happy doing birthday parties, gigs at local restaurants, and spending time with his son. He always worked alone and thought he always would. But that, and the rest of his life, is all about to change. The Magician's Assistant. The eyes of the child sitting in the booth of the Happy Burger were wide with wonder as a handful of pennies magically poured from his nose. The rest of the family applauded as Jeff the Magician dumped the coins into his top hat and then passed it in front of the parents, hoping for a tip. But the mother and father merely smiled and turned their attention to the communal pile of cheese curds. Jeff returned the smile and moved on to the next booth. The young couple sitting there were just finishing up and slid out and passed the old performer as he produced a bouquet of silk flowers from thin air. Jeff watched them go, then sat down at the empty booth and helped himself to some abandoned French fries. The restaurant didn't pay Jeff to entertain their customers. He was allowed to perform and solicit tips on Friday family night in exchange for his choice of a super value meal. If a family was receptive, he'd hand them a business card and let them know he was available for birthday parties. Later, when the dinner rush was over, he'd sit down to a fish sandwich. Most weeks, he could make as much as $20 on top of his free meal. On Wednesdays, he did the same thing at Pete's Pizza Parlor. Thursdays, he worked the fish and chips place on 3rd. And on Saturdays, he spent the afternoon at the ice cream parlor, his most profitable engagement. Coupled with the few birthday parties he was hired for, and mornings serving lattes and cappuccinos at the local coffee house, he made enough to afford the tiny one-room apartment he called home and send a child support check to his ex-wife. On the one weekend a month when he got to see his boy, he took on the added expense of renting a hotel room for them to stay in. His son loved the pool. Tonight, however, aside from the occasional scrap of food he pilfered from abandoned trays, Jeff the Magician had made exactly nothing. The crowd was thinning out. He considered getting his usual fish sandwich combo to go and head home to watch reruns of Judge Judy on his phone. Just as he was about to get up, a woman slid into the booth opposite him. She was young, or at least younger than he was, perhaps 30, give or take. "Rough night?" she asked. Jeff nodded. "Kids these days, right?" she asked. "All those magicians on YouTube showing how the tricks are done? They spoil it for everyone." Jeff nodded again. She offered him a slender, smooth hand. "My friends call me Mags." Jeff shook her hand politely. Jeff.
I know. Jeff the magician,
she said with a flourish.
I like it. Some magicians can be so pretentious, don't you think?
Jeff couldn't determine if she was being nice or mocking him.
It was the name my father performed under.
I knew I liked you. I come from a showbiz family myself.
Well, nice to meet you, Mags. But I think I'm going to call it a night.
So early? There's still a lot of people here. Jeff surveyed the sparsely populated tables and booths. One more, I'll help,
Mags offered.
I work alone.
Every magician needs an assistant.
I can't pay you, unless you want to split the fries for my super value meal.
No charge. Let's call it my audition. Come on. There's a family over there that really needs a good magic trick.
She glanced over at a table where a single mother had given up trying to wrangle her four kids. She was scrolling through something on her phone while they threw onion rings at each other.
They will eat me alive, Jeff said.
Trust me, Mags urged, as she rose from the table and grabbed Jeff by the hand. Jeff felt a spark of static electricity pass between them when she touched him.
An imperceptible snap that woke him up.
Her energy and optimism gave him a renewed confidence.
He donned his top hat and followed Mags to the table of unruly children.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Mags announced in a loud, clear voice. Instantly, the kids and everyone else in the restaurant fell completely silent.
Tonight, for one night only, you are the proud witnesses to one of the most amazing, incredible, stupendous wonders of the world. A man who has mastered the art of the legerdemain, unlocked the mysteries of the great beyond, and has been bequeathed the powers of the world's greatest sorcerers and wizards.
She paused, locking eyes with each child, all of them completely entranced. Even the mother had put down her phone and stared at Mags expectantly.
I give you Jeff the Magician.
With a flourish, she stepped aside and gestured at Jeff. He froze for a moment, unaccustomed to having such a captive audience. He tipped his hat while he bowed deeply, then tossed it into the air, setting it spinning in a graceful arc to land perfectly atop his head.
Thank you, he said. Now, who wants to help me with my first trick?
Each kid at the table shot their hand into the air. Jeff selected a girl who seemed the shyest of the bunch.
You, young lady, have we ever met before?
The girl shook her head emphatically. Jeff made a deck of cards appear and fanned them out in front of the child and said those five little words that energized him even further.
Pick a card, any card.
The girl scanned the deck, then picked one out from the middle.
Now don't tell me what it is. Show it to your brothers and sisters.
The girl cautiously shared the identity of the card with her siblings.
Put it back in the deck.
The girl slid the card in amongst the others, and Jeff immediately began shuffling. He had always been good with cards, and he showed off a little with a one-handed shuffle and shooting the cards from one hand to the other. When he was done, he slammed the deck down onto the table and flipped over the top card.
Is this your card?
He asked. The girl looked at it and shook her head.
No.
Jeff pretended to be disappointed.
Really? Well, is this your card?
He turned over the next one.
No.
The little girl giggled with glee.
Huh.
Jeff huffed. He picked up the deck and started searching through them.
No, that's not it. No. No.
He turned to Mags. This was not how the trick was supposed to go, and he didn't know how to get out of it. She smiled and surreptitiously pointed at the mom while she mimed talking on the phone. Jeff looked over at the mother. She had set her phone down on the table, and he could see the corner of a playing card peeking out from under it.
This has never happened before, Jeff said, playing his failure as part of the act. Someone at this table is a secret magician. Excuse me, ma'am, he said to the mother. Can I borrow your phone to report this to the Council of Wizards? The woman looked down at her phone and saw the card stuck beneath it. She picked up her phone and held up the card.
"That's it! That's my card!"
the little girl shouted.
"Jeff the Magician!"
Max proclaimed, sparking applause from the family and other patrons in the restaurant. Jeff plucked the card out of the mother's surprised grasp, stuck it and the rest of the cards back into his pocket, and bowed. His hat fell off his head and into his waiting hand, and he held it out expectantly. The mother smiled apologetically.
"Sorry, I'm on a really tight budget."
Jeff nodded understandingly. But then a hand reached around him and tossed a $5 bill into the hat. Jeff turned just as the man who had given him the tip was making way for other patrons to step forward and drop more money into his hat. Half a dozen, then ten more people appeared, filling the old topper with coins and bills. Mags pulled him aside.
"Nicely done," she said. "How did you do that?"
"Do what?"
"Slip that card under the mom's phone."
"I don't know what you're talking about." "You're the magician," she replied with a wink. "So, do I get the job?"
Jeff stared down at the hall in his hat. There had to be almost $100 in there. He looked back at Mags and nodded enthusiastically. The next week, Happy Burger was packed with families eager to see Jeff the Magician. He and Mags had made the rounds of all his usual gigs, and word spread that the old magician and his new assistant were the hottest ticket in town. At the end of the evening, they had made nearly $400. Jeff usually only charged $50 for a birthday party. With Mags at his side, the tricks seemed to work themselves. Sometimes she would help, like she did with that first card trick. He had no idea how, and he would go with it. Instead of the silly stuffed bunny he usually pulled out of his hat, there was a real rabbit. He did a gag with little foam balls that ended with a volunteer revealing that the single ball they thought they were squeezing in their hand was now three balls. Only when he did it with Mags, it was dozens of balls that appeared.
"You know," she said at the end of the evening, "you need to start thinking bigger. You could be filling your own theater every night."
Jeff laughed at the suggestion. "Yeah, just like David Copperfield."
"Why not?"
"I'm not some great illusionist. I'm just a guy who does magic tricks."
Mags suddenly got serious.
"Never, ever say that again. You are not just a guy who does magic tricks. Look around you. Look at the kids staring at you. They'll remember this night at Happy Burger for the rest of their lives. Some of them will be inspired to become magicians themselves."
Jeff stared into Mag's eyes.
"You really think so?"
"I do. You know, there are tryouts for that TV show, Who's Got Talent, soon. You should sign up."
Jeff smiled as a fond memory surfaced.
"My dad was on Star Search once. You probably don't remember that show. Way before your time."
"The one with Ed McMahon?" she asked.
"Yeah. He won. Used the money to send me to college. He gave up magic after that. I never knew why. Got a 9-to-5 job at a bank and died just after I started my freshman year at Michigan State. He thought I was going to be someone important."
"So, prove him right. What have you got to lose?"
"You'll help me?"
"Of course."
"Then I'll do it."
Tryouts for the show were one of the biggest events on TV. Just making the cut to appear on stage could change the trajectory of your career. Mags was late. Jeff had stood in line for 6 hours just to register to stand in an even longer line. He didn't see how they could audition everyone waiting. Chances were he'd go home disappointed with nothing but sore feet to show for his efforts. He told his ex-wife he was going to be on the show and suggested that she bring their son to watch him. She was predictably skeptical, but Mags had secured a couple of tickets for the taping, and Jeff's ex took them, making no promises they would actually go.
"Jeff! Jeff!"
he heard a familiar voice shout. He turned around and saw Mags walking briskly toward him, with a woman holding a clipboard and wearing a headset in tow.
You might as well have stayed home, Mags. We're never going to get in.
Don't be silly, Jeff. This is Martha. She's one of the producers.
Associate producer, Martha corrected.
Martha, this is Jeff the magician.
Martha smiled. I like it. So many magicians have pretentious names.
I know, right?
Mags added.
Jeff's dad was a magician as well. He was a winner on Star Search back in the day.
Martha became suddenly interested. You don't say. That's a great story.
Is your father still alive? Is he here to watch you?
No, he passed away when I was in college.
So he never got to see you make it on TV. Jeff's son is in the audience, Mags interjected. He's never seen Jeff perform on stage before.
Really? All right, let's see what we can do.
She pressed the button on the radio fastened to her hip and spoke into the headset. Hey, Jerry, how soon can we squeeze in a magician?
There was a pause. Great.
She read the number off the tag the people at the registration table had pinned to her shirt. It's B983435.
We're on our way.
She smiled at the middle-aged performer, who still wasn't quite sure what was going on.
Come with me, Jeff. You're going to be on TV.
Jeff looked to Mags in amazement, then grabbed the carry-on suitcase that held the props for the trick he was going to perform and followed the associate producer and his assistant. The weightless woman trick was what Jeff considered his showstopper. It was a version of the standard levitation gag most magicians of his caliber had in their repertoire. But when he performed it with Mags on stage in front of the judges and thousands of hushed audience members, it was more than he could have ever expected. He did the standard bit of pretending to hypnotize her while she stood on a scale, instructing her that she was as light as a feather. A cameraman came close to show the numbers slide down from 120 to zero. Jeff threw a white sheet over her and then placed a hand under the small of her back as her feet lifted up and her head tilted back until she was lying horizontal in mid-air. He gently removed his hand through a smattering of applause. He was about to remove the sheet to reveal that Mags had vanished when the impossible happened. She started moving. Her sheet-draped body started circling Jeff, demonstrating that however the audience thought he had pulled off the trick, they were wrong. Then, as she continued traveling in circles, Mags started to rise, spiraling upward towards the ceiling. All eyes stared unblinking at her floating form. A television camera focused on one especially awestruck little boy, Jeff's son. Jeff didn't know what to do. He hadn't rehearsed this part with Mags. How was she doing it? Then, to a collective gasp from the audience and judges, the sheet fell away, revealing Mags still hypnotized. She floated out over the audience, then down in front of the judges' table, where she stayed hovering. The judges ran their hands over and under her in total amazement. Jeff noticed a finger on Mags' hand beckoning him to come to her. He jumped off the stage and climbed up onto the riser where the judges sat. He placed his hand under the small of her back, and she tilted slowly upright until her feet were touching the ground. Jeff snapped his fingers in front of her face, and her eyes sprung open. She reacted as if surprised to find herself where she was. Applause and cheers erupted from the audience, all of whom were standing on their feet. One of the judges reached over and pressed the diamond button that rained down a shower of silver confetti, signifying that Jeff the magician would go straight to the live shows. Clips of Jeff's performance went viral. He came back three more times, doing tricks that most in the business would consider ordinary at best. But with Mags' help, they made them extraordinary. One of the judges even claimed that he believed Jeff was actually magic. Jeff was starting to believe that was true of Mags. On the final night, the live show that would crown the winner, they did a trick that Jeff had never tried before. It was a variation on the cutting a woman in half gag, where it looked like the assistant's head, torso, and
feet were separated from each other. Mags had provided the equipment. Jeff wanted to rehearse, but she assured him it was an easy trick and it would bring down the house. Mags gave Jeff a silver tuxedo to wear for their grand finale, and she wore a sequin dress that matched the silver confetti from their audition. At Mags' suggestion, Jeff remained wordless as they loaded her into the box, which was divided into 5 sections. One for her head, one for her shoulders and arms, her abdomen, then 2 for her legs separated at the knees. Her hands poked out of 2 holes, and Jeff opened a small door in the topmost compartment to show Mags' smiling face. Then, he inserted steel plates between each section, making a show of it being difficult to slide in, as if he was actually slicing through her body. When he was done, he spun the box around, then moved the middle section to one side, then the boxes above and below it in the opposite direction, to create the illusion that her body was indeed separated. The audience was mildly impressed. It was good, but it wasn't a woman floating around the auditorium good. Jeff pushed the dislocated sections back into place, preparing to remove the steel plates and reveal Mags perfectly intact. But the whole contraption started leaning to one side. He didn't realize what was happening until he heard gasps from the audience. He watched with the rest of them as the whole thing fell away from him and hit the ground. When it did, each compartment was completely separated from the others. 5 boxes of different sizes scattered across the stage. There was total silence in the theater. Jeff didn't know what to do. The little door in the box that held Mags' head sprung open, revealing her face upside down. Her eyes were closed, and her tongue hung out one side of her mouth. The camera zoomed in on her lifeless visage. There was no way she could be hiding under the stage with her head like that. Then she opened her eyes and smiled. The audience exploded into cheers. The judges were flabbergasted and rose to their feet along with a thunderous crowd. A camera picked out Jeff's son, who was pointing proudly at the stage and telling everyone around him, "That's my dad." The box that held the lower part of her legs rose up an inch, and you could see her feet tiptoeing along, moving the box toward where her head was now laying. "A little help, Jeff?" she said, looking over at the stunned magician. Jeff regained his composure and started reassembling the boxes. He got the order wrong, and Mags had to correct him, much to the amusement of the crowd. Once she was reassembled, he slid out the plates, unlatched the doors, and Mags walked out completely whole. Jeff the magician won the Who's Got Talent grand prize, and the host presented him with a giant check for $1 million. They went out to dinner to celebrate. Jeff had a little bit too much to drink, and Mags called an Uber to take them both back to his tiny apartment, where she helped him slip off his shoes and lie down on his bed.
"Who are you really?"
Jeff asked.
"I'm your assistant."
"You're a magician. You're a better magician than I'll ever be. You should have that $1 million.
Jeff suddenly realized he had never talked to Mags about how they would split the prize money if they won.
"I'm giving you half."
"I don't need it," she replied.
"But you deserve it."
She smiled. "Your son will need it. He's a smart kid and very proud of you."
"You think so?"
"I know he is.
And your dad would be too." Jeff glanced over at the photo on his wall of his dad getting a giant check from Ed McMahon, the host of Star Search. Next to Jeff's father was his old assistant. Jeff had been 6 when his dad won the talent competition. He couldn't remember if he had ever met his dad's assistant or even what her name was. He sat up, then uneasily lifted himself to his feet. There was something familiar about her. He stumbled across the small room and stared at the grainy photo.
"Hey, Mags, my dad's old assistant is a dead ringer for you."
He turned around, but she was gone.
He hadn't heard her leave. It was like she just disappeared. Jeffrey turned his attention to the photo. He had never noticed it before, but there was an inscription in one corner in an elegant female hand. He took the photo off the wall and carried it to his desk and turned on the lamp so he could get a better look. "Jeff, your son will be so proud. Mags." It couldn't be. But of course, he knew it was. And he suddenly knew two other things to be true. One, his son would go to whatever college he wanted to. And two, Jeff would never perform magic again. He wondered if they were hiring at the bank. Thank you for listening to The Magician's Assistant, written especially for the Bedtime Stories for Insomniac's Fiction Podcast by Rich Hosek. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast platform. But most importantly, please share these stories with anyone you know who enjoys audiobooks. If you sign up for the Insomniac Snooze Letter at bedtimestories.studio, you will receive a free audio or ebook edition of The Charlatan's Conundrum and other bedtime stories for insomniacs. You can find out more about the host of Bedtime Stories for Insomniacs at richhosek.com. Thanks again, and all the very best.
The Luke in Time Mysteries begins with two private detectives. Luke, who's got a little bit of a drinking problem, and her partner Lyle, who's got a little bit of an eating problem. Together, they've got pretty big money problem. So when Marva walks into their office, offering gobs of cash, if they can find someone who's trying to kill her, they take the job without asking any questions, which becomes their biggest problem, because soon enough, they walk into a trap and wind up dead. But that's not where this story ends. In fact, it's just the setup, because they go back to the moment where they first met Marva, and until Luke and Lyle can solve Marva's mystery, they keep dying over and over again. If this book sounds like something you'd enjoy, check the links in the show notes to learn more.
You can find out more about the nine lives of Marva DeLonghi and the Luke in Time Mysteries at jodyjsperling.com.